This is number two in the Beatitudes. And so we're here in Matthew, the fifth chapter. And as we pointed out last time, how well that the unity of Scripture between the Old and New Testament come together. And also how that the New Testament opens up the Old Testament and gives understanding, because the New Testament is not written in the same way that the Old Testament is. The Old Testament is written with the law and the prophets and the writings, and in there you have history, you have genealogies, you have psalms and proverbs, which then are parables. You also have in the prophets and in the Psalms especially, you have a design of the Scriptures which is here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But the Old Testament, you can read along and it will go from current to future, back to the past, and back to near future. In the New Testament, we don't have it that way. We have the Gospels and Acts, and then we have the general epistles. And beginning with the general epistles, going all the rest of the way through the Bible to the book of Revelation, you have a unique form of writing, the epistolary form of writing, which is a letter. And a letter, the epistles accomplish what God wants in a very personal way. See, because we're to have a personal relationship with God, and so it's very important to understand why he chose the epistolary form of writing. That is so that we have a personal relationship with God, which then comes to us through the writings, which also reflects the personal relationship that the apostle had directly with God. So it's so unique that no other religious writing in the world is in the epistolary form. So that's something. So you could also say, in a certain way, that the New Testament epistles are love letters from God to us. You could look at it that way. And that also makes it very personal. Well, with the teachings of Jesus, he came to magnify the law, to make it holy, to make it glorious, to make it honorable. And he began doing this beginning in Matthew, the fifth chapter, and we finished the down through verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, let's understand something. You look and see all the problems in the world, and you see the difficulties going on. And yes, there are many, and they're multiplying and getting more and more complicated with the consequences, far more serious than ever before. So think about it this way. As unworthy as you may consider yourself, all the brethren of God, and this goes clear back to Abel, clear down through all of those that qualified for eternal life in the calling that God gave them in the Old Testament, being the prophets and some of the kings and so forth. God has chosen all of us to rule and reign with Christ and bring the solutions to the world. Now stop and think for a minute, especially look at the election in America, and I shake my head and I say, oh no, never in the history of the world have we been confronted with the lack of leadership that we have, evidenced in the ones who are there. Well, as you look at the politics going on here in America, and then you look at the politics in every other country in the world, they are so bad. But why are they so bad? Number one, they don't follow God's laws, which it would be better if they would. However, the reason is because governing people really is a prerogative of God, which Adam and Eve chose not to do. They didn't want God saying, here's the way to live. They said, God, that's unfair and you're oppressive. We want to choose how we will live. And Satan came along and said, yes, you go right ahead. See? And so here we are today, and we're going to reach the culmination of it here pretty soon. So let's tie this in with now Matthew 5 and verse 4. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we did that. Now, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, there's an awful lot to this one verse, but let's pick it up here in Romans 8. Let's go back to Romans 8 and see something that we understand and we experience. And here it shows how God is going to save the world through Christ and us. Now let's pick it up here in verse 14. You have to go there to pick it up. We've gone through this many times, but we need to understand this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that's something we need to pray about every day, brethren, that God will lead us with His Spirit, that He will actively, through His Spirit, help us to think of the things that we need to do and how we need to conduct our lives. And as the opening prayer was, God save us from ourselves. See? You know, it's like the black preacher was preaching, Lord, he was praying, Lord, your children are subject and prone to sin. And he says, God, save us from the prone. Only God can save us from the prone, see? That's a temptation. So we have to be led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. And as we come down toward the Passover time, I'm going to talk more about our personal relationship that we have with God, because we tie that together, because when you think about all the things that are going on in the world, you ask yourself the question, how am I going to survive? Well, God will have to lead us and protect us, and always remember Psalm 91. Always remember Psalm 91. Now, let's carry this further. Verse 15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we call out, Abba, Father, a close, personal, intimate relationship with God. And the Spirit itself bears witness conjointly with our spirit, testifying that we are the children of God. Now, if we are children, we are also heirs, truly heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. You can put in there the Hebrews 1, 1 to 3, and also Revelation 24 through 6. If indeed we suffer together with Him. So there's some suffering we're going to go through, and with the suffering there's going to come some mourning. We'll talk about that in just a bit, but what I want to do is get the overall view here. So that we may also be glorified together with Him. So remember this. Whenever there are problems, look at the other side of the coin, because to be glorified together with Him is the whole key as to why we are here and doing what we're doing and continuing in the way that we are. Now then, notice, we get a comparison. So whenever we have troubles and difficulties, and I know that we do, but you see, we need to put everything in perspective. When there are troubles, God will lead us to the solution. Now then He amplifies it even more. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation itself. So whenever I think of that, I like to think of when I'm seeing on television or a movie a shot of the Earth from outer space. Okay? And with that, that's the whole creation of God on the earth. See? The earnest expectation of the creation itself is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Because the creation itself was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected it in hope. And the hope is the return of Christ, and the hope is us, along with Christ. In order that the creation itself might be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So there it says that we are going to help deliver the world. So that's why in some of the things like we've been discussing before services, we see all the difficulties going on. Well, that's good. Just remember, it's one thing to know the problems, it's another thing to also know the solution. And the solution is not going to be solving spiritual problems by political means, by having new leaders. Now let's continue on. Who subjected it, by reason of him who subjected it in hope, in order that the creation itself might be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation is groaning together and travailing together until now. And not only that, but even we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit also groan within ourselves, awaiting the sonship, the redemption of our bodies. So, let's look at the promise of mourning, where he says, blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. So let's come back here to Luke, the sixth chapter, and let's see Luke 6, and let's pick it up here in verse 25. Because there are some people in the world today who have no clue as to what's going on. They have money, they have wealth, they have everything they want, everything is at their fingertips. But notice, here's a promise they don't know of. Verse 24, but woe to you the rich, for you are receiving your consolation. Luke 6, verse 25. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers did the same things to the false prophets. So, this gives us a little consolation right here when we see this in the world. And just stop and think about this. Every time you see on the news some rich person that has come upon their judgment, or some rock star or movie star or politician or whatever, and I might mention that in the current economic thing, that there was a gathering in Davos, Switzerland, where all the rich of the world were planning all of their strategies for all of us. So if you go online, look up Davos Conference or Davos, Switzerland, and you'd be surprised what they know, what they're doing, and how it's all being planned for the whole world. God is going to let them do that. And the economic problems we're going through now, if we have been wise and have taken care of ourselves, we'll be able to make it through. God will see us through. But know this, all of those who are the big money makers in the world, their day is coming. If you want to know how it's going to come, read Revelation 18, the judgment of Babylon the Great. Even the gold and silver, which can see you through some economic times, they're going to throw in the streets. So let's examine this a little bit more. Why do we groan and moan? Well, the first one I have down here is because of sickness. You moan because of sickness. Because of sickness, disaster, tragedy, emotional trauma, sin, government oppression, especially if you have to go in and start dealing with the government. They had a $200 project to do in San Jose to do a handicap on-ramp so that they could get into a certain building. Probably would have cost them no more than $8,000 or $10,000 max. But by time they got done with consultants, by time they got done with overseers of the consultants and the construction and the overseers of the construction and 18 different plans that they had the architects do for $100,000, and they weren't satisfied with that, so they sent him back and said, do it in 3D so we can view it on the screen and see how it will be. Guess what it was to put in a ramp to get the handicap in the building? $1,200,000. And it took well over a year and a half. That is government incompetence and oppression. So let's begin. Let's go here to Ezekiel 19. There's another one that ties in with what we just read back there in Romans, the 8th chapter. And this is how we feel when we see the world. And I know in my recent trip up to Las Vegas, and I was happy that that Stan Snyder didn't reserve me a room in one of the downtown high-rises there. But it just really, really got to me seeing all the senior citizens there at the one-armed bandits pulling them, you know, drinking their coffee, drinking their beer, drinking their drink, smoking their cigarettes, and just sitting there mesmerized, pulling these levers, and to look at this little screen to see if they can come up with the three bars and win. See? Really did. It just really got to me. But in a greater sense, when you look out to the whole world here, let's pick it up in... Let's pick it up here, Ezekiel 9 and verse 1. And there is a mourning and a feeling that we get when we see all the problems and difficulties going on in the world. One that really got me recently was the investigation that was done in Southeast Asia by MSNBC, where they were investigating all of the pedophile sects, where the mothers and fathers would sell their, beginning at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year old, they would sell them into prostitution so they would have money, see? And of course it just ruins and destroys the lives. And then I also saw on the news where they have pedophilia is so bad. It is so bad on the internet. And the Supreme Court ruled that virtual pedophilia, not using humans, is legal. But now they have the virtual pedophilia so real that they can hardly tell the difference between human victims and virtual victims. So there's an organization that have people, they spend their days watching nothing but pedophilia to determine which is real and which is virtual, so they can bring charges against those who are bringing the real pedophilia. So you talk about a schizophrenic judgment and stupidity. And she was explaining what was happening even to little 3-month-old baby girls and grown men. And I think it was Hannity. He says, well, it was Glenn Beck. And he said, well, doesn't this affect you? Well, she feels a little vindication that when they get the real ones. But I tell you, can you imagine spending 8 hours a day watching online pedophilia? And she can go through it. She said in one day she can go through 10,000 images. And I thought, this is insane. This is insane. And it just really got to me in the pit of my stomach just hearing it. And she was asked, well, how does this affect you? Well, I guess she has compartmentalized her mind and numbed her mind enough that she can handle it. But there's going to come a breaking point because the human mind was not designed to handle it. But Ezekiel 9 really brings out the kind of mourning that we will experience when we find how bad sin really, really is. And in a way, being in the church, we've been very protected, and that is good. We need to be protected. But as we get closer to the end, it's going to be a different story. So let's begin here, Ezekiel 9 and verse 1. And he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Now, isn't that interesting? Spirit beings in charge of cities, right? This is what he's talking about. And behold, six men came by the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, and every man a slaughtering weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen with an inkhorn by his side, and he went in and out and stood beside the brazen altar. So this is direct order from God. And the glory of the God of Israel was come up upon the cherubim whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem, and of course then in the end time we can apply that to all the children of Israel, and set a mark upon the foreheads of these men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. So when you moan and groan because of sin, whether in the world or because of victims in the world or in the church or in your family or whatever it may be, God notes that. And remember, the other half of the promise is comfort. So we'll get to the comfort here in just a little bit. And to the others he said in my hearing, you go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly old and young, maids and little children and women, because they're all so corrupt. Now, when you read this, don't get really blown away. Remember the second resurrection. See, remember the second resurrection. See, because God can't deal with them in this, how should we say, gross sinful condition for salvation at this time. But he can resurrect them to a second physical life and give them an opportunity for salvation without all the evil that they've experienced in their first lives. So keep that in mind. As I mentioned here, you have to look at both sides of the coin. But come not near any man upon whom the mark is, and begin at my sanctuary. Now, what is the mark of God? We've heard of the mark of the beast, a lot of that. But what is the mark of God?
The Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit is one. Another one is Sabbath and holy days, right? This is a sign between you and me throughout your generations. Yes, indeed. Okay. And begin at my sanctuary. So all of us who are elders, ministers, and teachers, we better pay attention. God's going to begin with us. See. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house, fill the courts with the slain, and you go forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. So there comes, and this is a depiction of the coming tribulation, that things are going to be so bad, and that when you need to understand how bad it was at the temple at that time, it was so bad that after the revival by Josias, which was the last revival, it immediately plunged back into the ways of Manasseh and was utterly horrible. Now, verse 8, and it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, will you destroy the residue of Israel? So here he is mourning. He is groaning. He is sighing. All the residue of Israel in pouring out your fury upon Jerusalem. Then he said unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great. And the land is filled with blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord sees not. And as for me also, my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense their way upon their head, and behold the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as you have commanded. So that's quite a thing. That is a staggering chapter, isn't it? Yes. And these are the kind of things that are going to come upon us because of what is happening in the world today. Now, let's look at some other things concerning moaning and groaning and sighing. Let's come to Psalm 38. Now, this gets down on a personal level. On a personal level with sickness, with disease. And here, this is really quite a tremendous psalm. Psalm 38. And I know when we go through trauma and difficulty and receive correction, either directly or indirectly or whatever it may be. Psalm 38, let's begin in verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath. Because we'll talk about mercy and so forth a little later. Always ask for mercy and kindness in God's judgment. Now hold your place here and let's come to Jeremiah 10. And here's what we need to always understand. And this is why we walk in faith, believe in hope, and live in love. But here is a basic thing. This is why we need God. We'll come back to Psalm 38 here in just a minute. In verse 10, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Okay. O Lord, and here is the thing that we come to. Now, let's also understand this. Never let another human being fill the vacuum in your life that belongs to God. Because only God can comfort you, and only God can help you, and only God can intervene to direct you. See? And this is what has happened in the churches of God. That's why they are scattered. Just like God was not pleased with Israel and he sent them into captivity and scattered them, so God was not pleased with his church and he struck Pasadena with the sword, if we could put it this way, and scattered the church, scattered it abroad, and still some of the brethren and the ministers haven't learned a lesson. If you don't believe that is true, all you have to do is read the journal, filled with a bunch of nonsense by men who think they're very important and are a gift to God. It's the other way around. God is a gift to us. Christ is a gift to us. See. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. And we'll cover that before the Passover because man is incomplete. See, he thinks he knows. He wants to decide, but he doesn't have the ability or the tools or the knowledge to do so. And I thought it was very interesting. Very interesting that they now know why young people and teenagers get in trouble and make stupid decisions. Remember, that can affect your whole life. And it is because the frontal cortex of the brain is not fully developed until, let's put it this way, not fully developed to assimilate the knowledge and information you need to make decisions concerning right and wrong, good and evil, to have the thoughts of being cautious and careful and so forth until no sooner than 20. Now you know why God counts adults from 20 and upward, see? But then it's ready to be trained. Just because the physical brain in the frontal cortex is mature, and now you have a process of thinking, you've got to train the mind, see? Because it's not in man or woman. Way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me. See, so back here in Psalm 38 says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath. See? O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. In other words, he's pleading for mercy. Pour out your fury upon the heathen that know you not, and upon the families that call not upon your name, for they've eaten up Jacob and have devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. Well, God will do that. Let's come back here to Psalm 38 again. And this is what we need to realize. Now, I know this. Whenever anyone goes through a sickness, it is difficult. And a severe sickness is even harder. A severe protracted health problem and sickness is even very, very, very difficult to bear. But nevertheless, God is still with us. Okay? Verse 2. Back to Psalm 38 now. Okay? Verse 2. For your arrows stick fast in me, and your hand presses me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger. See, so God punishes for sin. And if there's repentance, God lifts it. Okay? Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. So there are going to come times in our lives that we will feel just so burdened down. And we'll be mourning that it's hard to handle. Now, he was really in bad shape. He was seeing his last. This is, even though it's a psalm of David, it reminds me a little bit more of King Hezekiah when God said, you're going to die, and then gave him a reprieve. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. You know, when you're really sick and down, about all you can do is kind of sleep and roll in bed, and you go, oh, it's hard to take. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my groaning is not hid from you. So the important lesson to remember here is not only God dealing with us, but this. God is still with us even in this condition. See? All my desire is before you. Verse 10. My heart pants, my strength fails, As for the light of my eyes, it is almost gone from me. And then he goes on. Let's come down here to verse 15. For in you, O Lord, do I hope. You will hear me, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slips, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and to come to death. Okay. For I will declare my iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. Then we come down here to verse 21. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation. So you see, this carries us all the way through the whole process of mourning, of sickness, of near-death experience, and all of that. All right, let's look at another one. Psalm 42. We moan and groan because of the oppression of the enemy. Let's pick it up here, Psalm 42 and verse 5. Now, here's what to do when you're feeling depressed. Okay? You need to talk to yourself. Don't go around saying, I'm depressed. Oh, by the way, they now have a new market for antidepressant drugs. Did you hear about it? It's for dogs and cats.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. See? And they expect it to be a $5 billion a year field. And the reason is, people are not having as many children today, so they have animals that they treat like human beings. And the worst thing to ever do is treat a dog like a human, because a dog is not a human, and it doesn't know what to do. It has to have a pack leader.
Yeah.
If you don't believe that, watch Dog Whisperer.
Yeah.
He'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, our two little dogs, when I feed them, they come up to the door of the garage, and I don't let them step over the threshold. When they do, I say, no. And then if they don't obey themselves, I just tell them, I'm your pack leader. And they're happy. Okay. Okay. How do we get off on that? Well, let's go on. Okay. You have to talk to yourself. Why are you downcast, O my soul? You've got to figure out what's going on. Why are you disquieted in me? Hope in God. That's what you need to do. Turn to God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of the waterspouts. All your waves and billows are gone over me. So what he was experiencing was just like kind of being adrift in the ocean, you know, and the waves are coming upon you. Yet, in that, verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So you can have the oppression of the enemy. As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Well, you see, sometimes God wants to deal with you just one-to-one, all alone. And when you ever get to the point that you feel like God is way, way off, that's when to call on him and he will be near. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. God will restore you. Okay? Let's just go on to Psalm 43. Short little psalm, but there's a lot in it. And it follows right up on Psalm 42. Judge me, O God, and please my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Asking for God's help and protection and deliverance continually. For you are the God of my strength. Let's understand this. Human beings are so weak and inadequate and incomplete. And I think the older you get, the more you understand that. So I'm revealing my age here a little bit. Okay. But we need to be delivered from deceitful and unjust men. Now, especially if you have, they're finding today, there are so many senior citizens that are finding themselves in bad trouble because they followed bad advice of people saying, you can make a lot of money on this. And then they lose everything they have and end up out on the street. Okay? For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why go mourning? Because the oppression of the enemy. Oh, send out your light and your truth. This is what's going to deliver us. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to your tabernacle. Now let's amplify that with the New Testament. Where do we come in our prayers to God? To Zion in heaven above, to the Holy of Holies in the heaven above, right to the very throne room of God, correct? Yes. So there we have it. That's why the promise is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Here's part of the comfort. Verse 4, then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise you, O my God. Why are you cast down, my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So God will deliver you out of that. All right? Now, let's see some more of the solutions. We dwelt enough on mourning, so let's quit mourning and look to the solution. Let's go to the next track, please.